Okay, world, it's your girl Malika X, and I am back with another episode of Being Frank, the podcast, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. This week, we will be doing a special show, so stay tuned, keep listening, and if you have questions, as always, I always have to say this, legit questions. Remember, you can send those over to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social@beingfrankmedia.com. Let's kick off the show. I got something special for y'all this week. I know I told y'all I had something special for y'all this week, and here it is. I wish I could do a drum roll. I'm your something special. You have me all to yourself this episode. I thought, what more fitting than for me to wrap up this series of the L Word by answering those same three questions that I ask of my interviewees, so that you can see my perspective and get my background. And to involve my listeners, I've gotten some questions, y'all. I'm super excited, and I want to address those. Some of them I will not address or entertain, honey, because the girls always have to come with the bullshit, and you know, I just won't even acknowledge it. So we're going to ignore some of y'all questions, because they always got to try you. There's always somebody out there that's going to try you. So I want to kick off this week with giving you a little bit of background about me. I know in the last episode, my bestie Alicia made it be known, let it be clear to everyone, that I was from Cleveland and not Charleston. And that's true. I don't know why she felt the need to do that. I rep my city. I love my city. Born and raised in Cleveland, Ohio. I actually didn't leave Cleveland until 2010. I've been in Charleston since 2010. And I left Cleveland as the result of a job. Nigga, why else? I was unfortunately unemployed when I left Cleveland. And I know that's going to sound crazy to a lot of my listeners. Some people don't know me that well. They know me, but they don't know me that well. I did it right. I was the person who stayed on the path. You know how that movie, what was that movie? Golden Child, Stay on the Path. I'm showing my age, child. Y'all don't know the movie. Some of y'all will know the movie Golden Child in my little joke. But anyway, I stayed on the path. I thought I was doing everything right. I went to school right after high school, went to college, continued my education, furthered my education, I should say, and got my master's degree. Always wanted to be a teacher, and in Cleveland, they started laying off teachers left and right. And unfortunately, I was a part of that whole movement. And I lost my job. So, yeah, I was unemployed and collecting a fucking check from the government because I still needed my coins. I did. I will not act like I was too good to collect the unemployment check because I had to pay bills. And, bitch, the bills weren't going nowhere, and that little ass check wasn't really covering it. So I did odds and end jobs until I got back on my feet. And a part of getting on my feet was leaving Cleveland. So I love my city, but I had to leave my city in order to become what you see today. And since I've been here in Charleston, I've taken advantage of every opportunity as far as my career goes. I really don't think and maybe it could have been this way there, but I really think like I've progressed very rapidly in my career, my field, in a short amount of time. I'm no longer like teaching in the classroom, but I am still in the field of education, and I still am a teacher to the day I die. It's in my blood. They say teachers are born, not made. I am one of those people that I've always wanted to be a teacher. And even with this particular platform, I feel like I'm teaching. That's why I do it, really, so that we can all be knowledgeable of different topics that are personal to me. So I wanted to wrap that part up just to give you a little bit of background about me, where I'm from, what I do, and all of that good stuff. So to kick off the Q&A section, I want to start by first answering the question that I ask of my guests, which is, what is your label or how do you identify? And with yesterday being Lesbian Visibility Day, which I'm learning, y'all, I didn't even know. I knew it was a Trans Visibility Day, and I'm like, damn, it's a Lesbian Visibility Day. Let me put something on record. Let me wrap this little series up with the L word on Lesbian Visibility Day. And I had every intention to do so yesterday. Just because it felt like it was, everything was coming full circle. But by the time y'all hear this anyway, it will be after Lesbian Visibility Day. Try saying that 5 times in a row. That shit is hard. Lesbian. I'm good. But yeah, it's a tongue twister. So I wanted to address my label. I'm going to get to a question too after I do this to kind of go back and forth, because one of the questions is just, I just have to stay and address that question, even though it was one I was thinking about ignoring. I will say that I am bisexual. For all of my guys that know me, have been in a relationship with me, because y'all motherfuckers, once y'all heard my podcast, it was, you know, some people coming out the cut, letting it be known that we was in a relationship and they know I was gay and all of this new shit. Now, just about, unless you was in the earlier part of my life, you always knew I like girls. So it's not something that I go around on a bullhorn, like just telling motherfuckers, because straight people don't do that. Like, you just, you know, you in relationships, you tell people once you get to that point. And I've always felt that way. Like, I'm not going to hide it from men that I date, but I'm also not going to just be like feeling like that's the first thing I need to tell people about me. So yeah, bisexual. I have been with men in the past. I'm currently dating, as you all know, a woman. But I would say I'm bisexual. Although I want to be under the category of lesbian, I feel like it's more suiting or appropriate, which I don't feel like I'm any label. But for the sake of our podcast and our listeners who don't know, I am a bisexual woman. I still like and date men if I wasn't in a relationship, of course, because I don't fuck with y'all. And those of you who hit me up DMing and all of that, stop it. It's inappropriate. Stop it. I don't want you. I'm in a relationship, and I don't do that when I'm in a relationship. So that is my label. If I had to put one on, that's what I would say. Again, you know, I know Janelle Monáe came out, and there are other labels like within the LGBTQ a community, but I just like to keep it simple with one of the LGBTQ and just leave it like that. So I'm gonna put myself in one of those boxes for the sake of our conversation today. But I love women, so I rock with my lesbians. You might hear me say I'm a lesbian, but for those men out there, I'm gonna acknowledge you. You get your 10 seconds. I acknowledge you. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, bitch, bye. Okay, we done. All right, so moving on to one of the questions that I did get, and I wanted to address. It kind of goes along with, you know, just that whole stereotypical thing of being a bisexual. Most people automatically think, you know, you're in these loose relationships where you and your girl doing this and that with men or something. It's not like that. And I feel like even in straight relationships, cheating is cheating. So that would be cheating. So no, me and my girl is not like in this type of open relationship where we invite men in. I don't know why men think that. And this question came from a man. We don't want to hook up. It's not like that. It was something that I felt like I just had to say because oftentimes lesbians get approached by men that way. And I'll get into this a little bit more in my out of pocket piece, but that I just wanted to say something to. There was another question about, since me and I'm on my relationship piece, how do I do the long distance thing? How do I make the long distance relationship work? I don't know if everyone caught that in the first episode with Kaya, my partner, but she doesn't live in the same town as me. She lives actually about 3 hours away from me in another city. We are planning on moving together this year, which I know all my lesbians and people who feel like, you know, lesbians be rushing into shit. We didn't rush. It's been 2 years since we've been dating and we are now going to move in together. So not all lesbians be living together after 2 months. We waited 2 years. And a way we made the long distance piece work was complete transparency. I mean, communicating consistently. And we sat down and wrote out a plan. I know that sounds corny as fuck, but we knew exactly what we wanted. Once we got to a certain part where we were no longer like dating, where I became her girlfriend, and it was a situation where that happened. It was like clearly defining moment where we're not just no longer dating. You're my girlfriend. What are we going to do about this long distance thing now that we are in a relationship? How can we make this work? So we sat down and made a plan and had different goals. And now, 2 years later, we'll be moving to Charlotte. So all of my queer and gay friends there, we are coming to town, baby. This summer, we will be moving. But we had to adjust along the way and kind of reevaluate some things. And it wasn't easy, but I definitely think the way we made it work is, again, complete transparency and constant communication. And without that plan, I mean, we would have been misguided, just blowing in the wind, no direction. It gave us a clear path and direction for what we wanted. And as we achieved our goals, we are really corny people. We like checked them off and was like, let's go back to our sheet. Like we literally have a Google Doc, a working doc that we check off shit. And it's really worked for us. So that's the first question. Moving into the next piece. The out-of-pocket piece is the second thing I usually ask my guests, only because in this, and one of my guests checked me, T, I don't know if y'all remember when she, not really checked me, but made me more aware and conscientious of how I describe my experience, my life. Instead of saying lifestyle, she kind of corrected me and wanted to just have me think more about me using that word, my lifestyle. And I appreciate that from her. And as a friend, that's why I fuck with her, because she, you know, just had me thinking more and deeper about certain things. Keep good people around you that's going to have you thinking. Don't have a bunch of yes men around you. That's just a side note. I mean, she's completely different from me, but I always appreciate and value her opinion. Even if I don't listen, but I do value it. So, the whole lifestyle thing, she made me think about it because she said, you know, when we use that term, it's almost like it's a choice. And as I go into the out of pocket piece, and discuss the most out of pocket thing that's happened to me, it was with a family member who felt like it was a choice. So I just come in full circle and thinking about things and which out-of-pocket moment I was going to bring to being frank. Because there have been other ones, especially with men approaching me or approaching my girl. That is like the most disrespectful thing, and I think I said that in one of the episodes already. It's just really frustrating when men do that. It's so inappropriate. They have no respect for the relationship and swear that they could somehow make you straight or take you from your girl. I can't stand that shit. But that's not the piece I want to talk about. Let me bring it back. But the most out-of-pocket thing that happened to me was with the family member who did feel like I was choosing to be gay. And I was at my cousin's house, and I really think it was, like Ada said, Thanksgiving is a crazy time for me. It's around the time that I lost my mom. It's around the time that, you know, family members get together, love my family. But it's also high stress time for families. Like, people don't realize that everybody dealing with their shit. And it's just one of those moments where I used to come home for. It was anxiety feel for me in that sense, where I'm coming home, driving up 12 hours to see family, and it's not always, you know, I'm not always welcomed well. And this was one of those incidents where I had my girlfriend with me at the time, and I feel like my uncle had, like, pulled her to the side or some shit, like, to check her, like he was giving her advice. And it was, I didn't even know it happened. First of all, let me rewind a little bit and slow down. I didn't know that that was what happened. And when I found out that that's what happened, I was devastated that she would be approached by one of my elder family members and about our relationship and our, I wanted to say lifestyle, but our relationship. But he pulled her to the side and was like, on some bullshit about, you know, you can't give her what she need, and you basically destroying our family legacy. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Like, really, like, going in on my girl about how, you know, she could never give me kids. Like, just fucked up. It was totally inappropriate, and it just, I felt ashamed. I was so mad that I didn't know at the time, because people know me, I got a bad mouth, and I will check everybody. Nobody is exempt from being checked, including my family. And my senior elder uncle would have gotten his ass checked on Thanksgiving Day. In my cousin's house, I would have showed out in front of everybody. And that's why she didn't tell me. But, yeah, he had pulled her to the side and said a whole bunch of things. And I just remember that moment and just how embarrassed I was, how, you know, just upsetting it was to just, I thought my family understood, but clearly here was another situation with someone in the family who didn't get it. When I thought, you know, everybody was accepting, I guess on surface, it appeared that, you know, we could come around, but it wasn't something that they accepted from us. And of course, the whole legacy thing is a fucked up feeling when, you know, kids and thinking about having kids and all of that, and somebody telling you you're not going to be able to give her kids. Although we know that we have kids, we have families, it's normal shit that gay, lesbians, transgender, queer folk do, but for some reason, elders, or I ain't even gonna say elders, some people just don't get that and don't feel like we should even be able to have that in our life and in our relationships because we're gay or queer, which is really heartbreaking. And even thinking about it now, I get broken up thinking about it. Yeah, that has to be the most out-of-pocket thing that has happened. And it was really frustrating, really frustrating. But switching gears, I do want to bring in one of the questions from our listeners to try to break things up before we go into the final part of this, and I have so many that are funny and things that I want to address, but you know, the time just gets away from you when you on these things. And my goal is always to give you good content in a short amount of time. I don't want to bore you. I want you to keep coming back. So I think one thing that did come up was a question was, have I reconsidered the word dyke? Using the word dyke. Have I reconsidered using the word dyke? That came up out of a conversation and one of the listeners. And I was speaking to a friend and we talked about not only one of my guests, which I feel like T and I, we talked about the use of the word and it coming from a negative place, like the word trainee, like that would be inappropriate to call her as a trans man, a trainee. And dyke is not, it never came from a good place. Let me just say that. It was a negative word. It came from a negative place where people were describing lesbian women in a negative aspect. And that's the best way, the conversation that I had with people, because I'm just like, you know, it's hard for me. I love to use the word dyke. And what's wrong with me using dyke? And it came up that, you know, it's kind of like how when we use the word nigga. And I know I probably said it 5 times already on this podcast, but I am going to do better. So just like with the word, the N word, it comes from a negative place and we continue to use the word. But when someone else used the word against us, we're offended. So I think when you know better, you do better. So would I reconsider using the word dyke? I know better. I'm going to do better. I'm a work in progress. I will probably still use the word dyke, especially in the comfort of my, you know, circle around my friends. I will still call the youngins baby dykes probably, but I will be working on that. And just because I understand the history and how words mean things and that word did not come from a positive space. Although, not to diminish the fact that a lot of lesbian women refer to themselves as dykes. So it's just something I'm going to be a little bit more conscious of because of, you know, my listeners, because of some of the ones that don't feel like it's appropriate, some of my friends who challenge me, and I appreciate that, and just me knowing better and doing better. Like I said, I'm a work in progress. What can I say? I'm going to do better with that, and I'm going to do better with the N word because, you know, I can't get offended. I can't be quickly offended because I could still get offended. Let me just say that, motherfuckers. Don't try me. Don't call me no dyke because it's going to be a problem because I will. I'm from Cleveland. Let's end it there, period. Pause. That's all I'm going to say. So I'm going to do better. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do better with the word dyke. Yeah, so let's end it there and go into the next question. So the last thing that I always ask my guests is just about the best thing that happened to them or the best part of being around or in this LGBT community, LGBTQIA community. Cannot forget. I'm going to do better, y'all. I'm telling you, I'm a work in progress. I keep saying that because I mean it. But as I learn things, I want to make sure I'm addressing things appropriately. But it's some shit, I'm going to be real, I still am learning and I'm not well versed in, so I won't even pretend to speak to it or act like I know about it. Pansexual, for instance, I'm learning, especially at the Janelle Monae. Like everybody like, wait a minute, I didn't know there was a P in the LGBTQIA and now P. But not to like, you know, take anything away from that. As people identify themselves differently, we know that, but there are things that I'm still learning and I'm not going to speak to it like I know it. So I keep it real simple. I don't really want to be boxed in. first and foremost, but I do want people to have a better understanding of me and who I am. That's why I'm doing the podcast. Being authentically me is the whole point. Being frank, okay? Of being frank is being authentically me, bold, honest, and unmistakable. I did have to do that because it was like just too easy to just go in and plug that whole thing. But the last thing I wanted to get into was the best thing, right? I always like to have a positive spin at the end. So I just say the best thing about my experience in the LGBTQ community is just my willingness and it's so hard to say it in like a sentence, but my willingness to be me, true to me. And then because I'm being true to me in this community, it's just allowed or afforded so many other opportunities to have relationships with different people, to have family, not necessarily related family, but family within this community, to have just experiences that have been above and beyond. Not to say that straight people don't have this same type of love, but this love is just incredible. And I mean, I could not have been a vessel to receive the love if I wasn't open and honest with who I am, and just knowing who I am and being complete and able to stand in that, period. Pause. I'm going to just say pause right there, because that's really what it's about. And that's been the best part about it. I know some people, I even had an old friend from college who listened to the show and was like, girl, I know you was a lesbian. I did not know that. Shit, we should have tried something in college. I was like, wait a minute, that is not the point of the show. But don't be trying to come out to me. What you doing over there? You experimenting? Or you serious about this thing? Because I'm really serious about this thing. So I don't want anybody to misunderstand that, you know, part of me. I am completely filled and happy with me. And I enjoy that. So that has been one of the best parts, when you are complete and happy with self and standing in your truth, and you come into situations with people that are the same like-minded types, which that's what I keep around me. And I encourage, if you don't have people around you, and I'm not saying a bunch of yes men, because I have people around me to stretch my thinking, to make me, you know, a better person, but also they are on the same shit with, you know, career building, getting shit accomplished, having shit, wanting something more, not just about material things, having love for self, you know, camaraderie, loyalty, all of the other shit that really makes a difference. Plus, you know, we some bad bitches over here too. Now, don't get us wrong. We do our shit. From the youngest to the oldest. Now, it wasn't always that way, but I've learned that you have to have like-minded people in your circle. And it's gotten a little smaller over time, but that's all right. I will say I'd rather have a small circle of real motherfuckers than a bunch of flighty bitches around me. And I've learned that the hard way. But definitely being in this lifestyle, that's probably the best thing, is just living in my truth. And because of living in my truth, I just have attracted other like-minded individuals, and it's just really been a great experience. So much love, period. I think La has said it beautifully, and I can't state it that eloquently as how she put it. But the vibration is just different. That love vibration, it ain't nothing else like it. That's it. I mean, that's the best thing about it. Just being love and knowing self and true to self, being authentically you. So that's the best thing. And just to keep it with that, I know I have so many other questions. And don't feel like I'm ignoring your question. I definitely think some of these can go into other episodes, and series that I will continue to do. I know I had to take a break last week, unforeseen circumstances, with my health, but I want to go into a Q&A piece to kind of wrap up the show. And the first one that I want to address is the, do I still use Plenty of Fish? I'm in a relationship. Like, that's a stupid question, but it's a good question in that it leads into, I do use social media. You know, I love using social media. I think my listeners are probably like, this girl meet people online and that's all she do. I met Kaya that way. I was very fortunate, you know, I met my girlfriend that way. But social media is just the way of the world in the digital age right now. And so really consider how you are branding yourself, especially if you are in the LGBTQ community. Be aware of what you're posting, putting up, putting out. I don't use Plenty of Fish because I don't need it. I went on that app as a serious dating app. I know not everybody out there using it for that reason. They like hooking up and doing all kinds of other crazy shit, which to each his own. But I actually went on there because I was in a different situation, which I spoke to a little bit when I had T on the show. But I used it. And I'm in a relationship, so I'm good over here. But I do still, you know, use Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all of that. And saying that, you know, just kind of establishing a presence in the digital world and building relationships. Me and La don't even live in the same city, and we continue to have this bomb ass relationship because, I mean, as a result of social media, and I love her to death. She's one of my good friends, like really, really good friends. And we met up on social media. It was strictly platonic. And I think we spoke to that, not in a sense of, you know, wanting to meet up to hook up, but wanting to meet up with a like mind, and we're both creatives. So I would just say I still use social media in that sense, but I don't use Plenty of Fish. For those that were wondering, my account should be disabled. So if you see somebody using my picture or some shit like that, that's not me, honey, and report they ass. Report them and send them to me so I can make sure I get in their DMs and be like, bitch, take my picture down, I'm sue. But getting into lie, some people were asking about her. It's that damn accent. I'm telling you, lie, see that island accent, that really get people going right there, boy. Because we got a couple questions about lie and asking if she was single. And then I'm gonna tie like kind of two questions together, asking if any of my guests were single. But they felt like La had a sexy ass voice. Somebody wanted to make that be known. Give my girl a shout out. La is, I would say she's dating someone, but for me, I'm going to put it out there. I'm not about to be using my platform to hook my friends up or no shit like that. But I'll just say it like that. She left you her information. What you do with it is what you do with it. But most of my guests are not single. They're in a relationship. The only one I would say is single is Ada. And T is complicated. She seeing somebody, kind of like just met. But you know how that shit is when you just meet somebody. And it's new and fresh and all of that. So for my listeners, sorry, of course y'all know Kaya is fucking taken, so don't even try it. And Alicia, she hasn't been in a relationship for at least as long as me and Kaya have been in a relationship, so she's taken as well. So sorry, girls, but you know, I'm telling y'all, military, it's a lot of, I won't use the word, it's a lot of females in the military. It's gonna be hard not to use dyke. But it's a lot of them out there. So I wanted to address that and let y'all know they're off the market, most of them. But they all drop their social media info. And I say, Do you, boo? Do you? And with that, I'm going to end the show and close there. It was so cool just being here with y'all today. Just me by myself. Just me, myself. Somebody cue a Beyonce for me. She killed Coachella. Oh, my God. But that's a whole nother topic. I am wrapping up the L word. Y'all have been great to me. So many listeners. I'm over 150 listeners, unique visitors. It's just been a wonderful experience. I will be coming back to you guys with something brand new in the next series. I'm trying to figure out which direction I'm going to go in. But if you have questions, remember, legit fucking questions, you know where to send them. The email is social@beingfrank.com. Again, the email is social@beingfrank.com. And until next time, peace. So that's it for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with a better understanding of the topics we discussed. If you're looking for new content, remember we're here each week. You can find me on Anchor at Being Frank Media or on Apple Podcasts at Being Frank Media. If you have questions, remember to send them in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Keep listening, keep following, and like and share the podcast. I'm going to keep hustling and keep grinding to give you great content. Remember, this is Being Frank, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Until next week, peace.